To be with you this morning, I want to ask you a question. And I want to ask you a question, but I don't imagine that, I don't know how many people we got here. Danny, you got an idea? We got 107 people here. And if I was to sit down with all 107 of you that happen to be paying attention, Ricky, I might get 25 or 30 different answers to this question. Now, we might agree on a lot of them, but if I was to ask you to write down the top five, okay? So this is a question that doesn't have a whole lot of unity that goes along with it, but I want to spend a few moments looking at what is Christianity? Now, somebody might say that Christianity is doing the will of God. And of course, I think that hits nail on the head because, you know, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Somebody else might say, it means that you're a member of a church somewhere. And yeah, I guess that's right. But in Revelation 3:1, Jesus said to the church at Sardis, I know your works. You have a name, you're alive, but you're dead. So that's not as good an answer as that first one. Let me offer you a definition. Christianity is an attitude of the heart in regard to your relationship with Jesus that would cause you to display itself in every part of your life. In other words, Christianity is about how you live your life, your daily walk, in relation to your in relationship with Jesus. I want to spend just a few moments this morning looking at our duty as Christians in the world and what Christianity is all about. Now, just eight of them, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on any of them, but and they're more than just this. Christianity in the home is kindness. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." The whole idea behind Christianity is that we know that we are sinful and we have the same problems as everybody else out there in the world. So Christianity isn't harsh or impatient, but rather thoughtful and kind to one another. This ought to be especially true in the home. A person who's kind and considerate away from home but comes home and is harsh and unyielding and cruel and even mean, well, Christianity just doesn't mean much to that individual. President Woodrow Wilson, and you know, it's hard to believe it's been 100 years since he was president, he once said, "If because of your religion, your children, your husband or wife, your servants, and even your house cat don't have a better life, then there's a question as to whether you're really a Christian or not." Has Christianity made a difference in your home? So Christianity in the home is kindness. But Christianity in business is honesty. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, "Have regard for good things in the sight of all men." A Christian ought to be honest in all of his dealings with people, not just in business, but all things. It means that a Christian needs to conduct his business above board. It means he doesn't lie or leave the wrong impression. It means he always tells the truth, whether he's filling out his income tax form or selling cars or selling insurance. The trouble with folks who tell little white lies is that eventually they become colorblind. And we need to remember anyway that God doesn't recognize types of lies. John wrote in Revelation 21, "All liars," there's no category here, "all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." You know, the businessman who thinks that all is right in love, war, and business is just flat out wrong. This is a person who says that he believes in Jesus Christ, who never practiced deceit, and as far as we know and the Bible records, never lied a single time in his life. If you don't have the courage to be honest and tell the truth, then you just need to drop the idea of going to heaven Because the person who allows lies to come out of his or her mouth will never sing praises to God in heaven. Christianity in business is honesty. Number three, Christianity in play is fairness. Now, there are a lot of people that think that Christianity doesn't have time for rest and relaxation. But in Mark chapter 6, Jesus told His disciples, said, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest." In our recreation, we need to make sure that we're fair to God, to others, and to ourselves. Let me give you a for instance here real quick. Say a person, we'll say a guy, enjoys driving his car for recreation. And he likes to get out and he drives up and down country roads and gets out on the interstate and kind of airs it out and up and down city streets. And that's all well and good, but say this same fella pulls over and he picks up 6-pack of beer. And he gets back out on those same roads and those same streets and he's driving again, but in kind of weaving a little left and right. The cop pulls him over and said, "What's going on here?" And he said, "Oh, officer, I was just having a little bit of fun. I was driving my car." And that officer hauls him off to jail for DUI. Because we need to remember that our freedom ends where another person's freedom begins. Or another real quick, for instance, little boy likes to go out and he shoots his BB gun or his air rifle or whatever it is and goes up and down the street. He shoots out street lights and maybe pops a window every once in a while. Somebody grabs a hold of him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm just enjoying shooting off my BB gun." Well, it's the same thing. You can't have your fun at the expense of other people. Christianity demands that we be fair to everyone. Paul wrote in Romans 12:15, "Have regard for good things in the sight of all men." Now somebody might say, "What I do for fun is no one else's business." But that's not true. You know, we as Christians are supposed to be so close to one another that when one person rejoices, we're all supposed to rejoice. Or when one person weeps or is sad, we're all supposed to weep or be sad. We're bound together. Romans 12:5 reads, "One body in Christ and individually we're members of one another." What involves one of us involves all of us. Gambling and drinking are just wrong. They embarrass the church and your family. Don't have fun at God's expense, the church's expense, or your family's expense. So, in play, Christianity is fairness. Number four, Christianity in society is courtesy. And by society, I mean going out there into the world and interacting with one another. Paul said, "None of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself." I think this illustrates real well that old saying that no man is an island. Y'all have heard that before. We always rub elbows with other people. Now there was a fella and he was very well known for his politeness and his courtesy and his kindness. And there was an old grouch lived in the same town. Grouch finally went up to this fella that was so polite and he said, "All that niceness that comes out of your mouth, it's just air." And the polite fella said, "Yeah." And he said, "There's nothing but air in my tires on my car, but they sure do make those potholes easier to take." If we're going to be rubbing elbows with other people, we need to be polite and courteous to one another so that we're all easier to take. We need to remember that we're all created in God's image, that God made all of us. We're all a part of His creation. And the way that we act ought to be worthy of God and Christ. We need to remember that Paul wrote, "I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." That tells us we need held to a higher standard. President Garfield, and I'm even going farther back than Woodrow Wilson, he lived back in the 1870s or 80s, was walking down the street. He had been out of office for a couple of years, and he and a buddy were walking down the street, wherever it was, and an old black man come walking up toward him, and the black man tipped his cap or his hat to the president. So President Garfield, he tipped his hat. His friend was a bigot. he was prejudiced, and he said, "Does the President of the United States tip his hat to a black man?" And President Garfield simply said, "I never allow anyone to be more courteous than the President of the United States." You know, here was a man who, even though he was a politician, knew that he was a servant of the people. And we are supposed to be, as Christians, the most courteous and kind and polite people on the face of the earth because of who we are and because of whose we are. Someone has defined courtesy as love expressed in a bunch of different little ways. So, we need to be more courteous in society. Christianity in work is thoroughness. There is so much to do, even sing a song about it. There's work on every hand, not just in the world, but also in the church. But Christianity demands that if we're going to work, then we need to be thorough in what we do. In the Old Testament, the wise man, probably Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9, said, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." And Paul kind of wrote the same thing in different words in Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Now the problem with this is that when everything's said and done, there's usually a whole lot more said than done. Paul said that one of these days we'll all be judged by the things done in the body, not the things that were talked about. You know, Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He didn't say "well talked about" or "well planned." If we were talking about talking and planning, we'd be in good shape. He said, "Well done, good and faithful service." It's about what we do. This is so important to us. This is so encouraging to us. We start hundreds of projects at home and in the church, but how many of them do we really finish? A few? Maybe a dozen or two. You know, if we're not careful, we could end up again like at church at Sardis. Jesus said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works," it says here, "perfect," which means completed before God. We start so many things, but we don't finish enough of them. Paul said, "One thing I do." It's about what we do, not about what we think about or what we imagine, or as we're sitting on a committee, we discuss. It's about what we do. Jesus said in John 17, "I've glorified you on earth," speaking to his Father. "I've finished the work you've given me to do." Christianity and work is thoroughness. Number 6, Christianity toward the blessed is congratulations. You know, it's human nature to be envious and jealous of other people. You ever said this or something like it? "You know, he sure does have a nicer house than I do." Or, "Man, I sure do like her car." Or, "Boy, I sure do wish I had a job like he has." That's just human nature to act like that. But some of us take it a little farther. We're kind of like that old farmer who said, "You know, I don't have a single ear of corn in the crib, but one thing I'm thankful for, nobody else does either." You know, you read through the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, those folks that were afflicted and suffered, all of those things. You consider Job, okay? That's what God said. He said, "Consider Job, my servant. All the bad things that happened to Job." And yet he never wished a bad thing on his three buddies or even his wife who told him to just go ahead and curse God and die. You know, we as Christians need to remember, and I've already mentioned this, Paul said that we're supposed to be so close that we're supposed to rejoice when others rejoice. Even though it's kind of hard, if we're in dire straits and they have good things happening to them to do it, the Bible tells us that we need to. So Christianity toward the blessed or the fortunate is congratulations. Next, Christianity toward the downtrodden is helpfulness. Jesus set an unselfish example when he said that he didn't come to be served but to serve. And in Luke chapter 10, we got a beautiful illustration there of helpfulness. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan I'm sorry, there's a fellow that was traveling on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, and he fell among thieves, and he got beat up, everything took away from him, he was left there to die. And the first two people that came upon him were religious people. You expect religious people to be good people, to be helpful people. But they weren't. It was a priest and a Levite. And I can imagine in my own mind, the Bible doesn't say this, I can imagine that priest come along, he saw this guy laying on the side of the road, and maybe there was blood pouring out of him, and he probably said, well, if he was a teenager, ooh, gross. I wouldn't get close to him with a 10-foot pole. I hope somebody comes along who can help him, because it's not going to be me. And the Bible says he passed by on the other side. And the second fellow was a Levite. And maybe he thought to himself, and I'm making all this up, said, well, I'm not going to help him. I don't know who he is. I've got to be at such and such a meeting by XX time. And I don't have time to help him. And it says that he passed by on the other side. And the third guy that went by was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans were half-breeds. They were hated by the Jews. He didn't have anything at all going for him. He didn't even really need to stop. But Jesus said he stopped and he helped and he cared for this guy. And then Jesus ended that parable by saying, which one was the neighbor to the man who was in need? And the guy who was listening to the story said, the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, now you need to go and show mercy on people. So toward the unfortunate, Christianity is helpfulness. And finally, Christianity toward the offender is forgiveness. I don't know if you're thick-skinned or thin-skinned. I have known people that if I accidentally said a wrong word, they held it against me for days until I went, well, what's wrong? Well, you said this. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. You know people like that. If you offend them, they don't tell you about it. They call their wife or their husband or their children or the preacher or whatever. But you know, we read in Matthew chapter 18, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. In other words, if somebody offends me, it's my responsibility to go to him and talk to him about it. I'm the one who was offended, but it's my job. Fella that I heard about, he said, I used to wear my heart on my sleeve. I was very easy to offend. But he said, then I read Matthew 18:15. And he said, now you couldn't offend me if you tried. He said, because the way that I read it, before I go and talk to the preacher, the elder, the deacons, Bible school teachers, my wife, my children, or whatever, I'm supposed to go to you first. So you couldn't offend me if you tried. Jesus also wants us to understand that if we don't forgive people what they've done against us, we're not going to be forgiven by our Father in heaven. So Christianity toward the offender is forgiveness. In closing, we could look at different other parts of life, but we're just going to stop at these because I think they very well illustrate that definition I gave you earlier, that Christianity is an attitude of the heart with regard to Jesus that will display itself in all parts of life. Christianity in the home is kindness. Christianity in business is honesty. Christianity in play is fairness. And in society, it's courtesy. Christianity at work is thoroughness. Toward the fortunate, it's congratulations. Toward those who are unfortunate, it's helpfulness. And toward the offender, it's forgiveness. Take a minute this morning and see how all eight of these things apply to your life. And if you think you come up wanting, then maybe you need to try just a little bit harder. Let me, before I close, share with you one quick story about a little boy who asked his daddy, he said, Daddy, what is a Christian? His daddy thought about it for just a second, and then he said, a Christian is a person who's given his life to Jesus, who's kind and honest and fair and courteous and thorough and not jealous and forgiving. And the little boy looked thoughtful for just a second, and he said, Daddy, have I ever met one? Think about that for a second. If someone looks at you, do they see a Christian? Because if they don't, then maybe you need to do something about it. This lesson hasn't been about becoming a Christian, but if you do need to become one, repent of your sins and be baptized so that those sins be forgiven. But this lesson has been about looking like and acting like and doing the works of a Christian. And if you haven't been doing that, then you're not one. And one of these days you might be found wanting. If you need to respond to the invitation for whatever reason, won't you come as we stand and sing?